Hi, welcome to The Bridge Podcasts. We hope you enjoy the following message. For more information on all that's happening at The Bridge Church, please visit www.bridge-church.com. God bless all of you today. Thank you for joining with us again for virtual church at The Bridge. We are missing you all. Our hearts are for you and with you at this time. We're blessed that you join us for this message today. So praise God. Let's pray before we get started. Amen. Thank you, Father. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you are our peace. You are our Redeemer. You are our strength, Father God. We thank you for your word in John 16 that says, Father God, that in this world we will have tribulation, but take heart because you have overcome the world. We thank you, Father God, that that same overcoming power, Father God, lives in us, and we can use that today. It gives us hope. It gives us strength. It makes us resilient. It helps us to get through these times. Father God, we thank you, Lord, that you have formed us, created us, everyone uniquely, for friendship with you. So Father God, and your word says, Lord, that for those that you have formed, they will declare your praise. We praise you today, Father God. We thank you, Lord, and we give you thanks, Father God, for the great things that you're doing, Father God, on this earth, Lord, the deliverances, the healings that are taking place, Father God. We just thank you, Lord, for all of your goodness. And we thank you, Lord, that it is being shown to a needy world right now, Father. And we thank you that you bless this word today. You bless this message. Thank you that the anointing is always on the word. So, Lord, we just pray your blessing on it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Well, thanks be to God. Here we are again. I said this a few weeks ago, but as our hair's getting lower and longer, but thanks be to God, our mood is not getting lower. We're staying encouraged. It's good to be hearing back from you. Please keep on staying in touch with one another and with us. Let us know how things are going. And wherever you are today in the world, thank you for joining us. We've got a message today. It's been a bit of a challenging message to prepare, but I believe it's for such a time as this. And so there's no doubt about it. We're in new territory as a people of this nation. And uncharted territory can be both daunting and terrifying to navigate through. But uncharted territory also gives us the ability to overcome new challenges and to discover new things. More importantly, uncharted territory provides us with the opportunities to reach new destinations. Amen. And one of my favorite men of history to read about is David Livingstone. And he was a man that went into totally uncharted territory for many reasons, but one of which was to find the source of the River Nile. Now, his adventures brought him great peril, but they brought him great reward as well. I believe that if he had avoided going into uncharted territory, he wouldn't have, first of all, met the love of his life. He wouldn't have met one of the best friends that he ever had. And even more so, he wouldn't have known in such great measure the power and the awesomeness of God in his life. And so, you know, when he died next to his bedside in 1873, he was actually knelt beside his bed in a posture of prayer. So that adventure into uncharted territory was something that shaped David Livingstone's life. And I believe in this time, in this age, that new destinations are waiting for you. I believe new destinations are waiting for God's church. And I believe that new seasons are emerging at the moment. Hallelujah. Amen. So, you know, over the course of the weeks, we've heard a lot of unconventional theory and human wisdom regards our present situation. And we don't even know the half of it, I don't believe. I don't believe we know a fraction of what is being discussed in the corridors and the offices of power in different places across the world. So it can be easy to be tossed about by all the hearsay and the opinions that are out there. But I want to encourage you today to stay diligent and disciplined in your faith. Let's use this time to go deeper in our relationship with God, and let's trust Him to provide the answers to the questions we have. Amen. This time that we're living in abounds in questions. And things have never really changed. People always have questions. And you know, there's two forces at work in our world today that would want to maximize the impact of this situation. Now, the one is the force of evil, and it hasn't changed its strategy. It wants to separate us and divide us from Jehovah, our God. It wants to divide us from our brethren, our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Satan will do all that he can to set you adrift whilst you're not physically able to connect with your church and with your brethren. Satan is always at work trying to divide and conquer, divide and conquer. The other force, the force of good, and we are on God's side, amen. God, on the other hand, through the force of faith, He wants us to go deeper with Him and to trust Him with more and more of our hearts, if that's possible. Amen. So I want to encourage you today to trust Him with your welfare and your family. Trust Him in your job and in your financial situation. Trust Him in your physical and mental health situation. Just trust God. Whenever I've had to, my wife and I have had to really put our hope and our trust in God, He has never let us down. It's when we began to put our trust into other things, hoping for a different kind of deliverance, that things didn't go so well. Today I want to just read a portion of scripture out of Matthew chapter 6, verse 26 in the New International Version. And it says there, "Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life?" Amen. This just gives us that knowledge of how valuable we are to God. And you can go to that chapter and read of that in context. It's amazing. But, you know, here's Jesus, and He's posing a question. Jesus was a questioner. By posing questions like this one, He's always trying to draw people's attention onto the most important issues of life. And of course, onto God and the love of His Father for us as people. And times come when we are confronted by our present position in life. Just like the man in the mini movie that you watched before this message in episode 4. And there's an episode after this message as well. This man, he makes a promise to his mom as she was dying. She's on her deathbed, to change his life. yet he couldn't escape his lifestyle. And it took the birth of his son years and years later to bring him back to the place where he was again faced with a choice to either forsake his lifestyle or to forsake his family. And I would say he's one of those that got another opportunity to stand at the crossroads of decision. But many people don't get many opportunities or other chances to do that. So events like births and deaths intensify feelings that we have about our lives. These events make us stop in our tracks and evaluate ourselves. And events just like this pandemic, they're also causing us to evaluate. And I'd like to say, in connection with that, you know, it's like the parable of the wise and the foolish virgins. How much oil do we have in our lamps? And so events of magnitude, they goad us, and they ask questions of us. And now is such a time for masses of people in the world today. So I hope you still have questions. God can't answer someone that's not asking a question of him. And so God invites us to come, to bring our questions, to bring our needs and our desires and our to bring these things to his feet and to share it with them. But unless we are speaking to God, unless we're opening our heart, and we keep on bringing it, we might find he's going to stay silent. And so my chain was really yanked this week. I was listening to a podcast, and I'm going to paraphrase here just a wee bit, that you know that a Christian has gone to sleep and stopped reading their Bible if they stop asking questions. And so it's so vital that we continue to pursue the Word of God. And when we're in his Word, we'll always have questions. So sometimes when the questions dry up, maybe it's a sign that we have stopped being in his Word the way we should be. Pastor Linda and I are praying very specifically for all of you right now, that there wouldn't be any spiritual atrophy taking place during this time. Amen. You know, some people only get spiritually healthy when they're challenged, whether it's facing physical or mental stress. It's our bodies react to that stimulus. And so we really want everyone to stay spiritually strong and healthy at this time. This is a time to exercise our spiritual lives, because if we neglect to and disuse those muscles, atrophy sets in, and that's hard to recover from. I completely ruptured my Achilles tendon years and years ago, and it's taken a long time for this right calf muscle to come to grow strong again, and it's still not there. And so it's really important for us not to atrophy spiritually in this time. And so I want to go on to a portion of scripture right now as we carry on with this message in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 from verse 18. It's talking about the wisdom of God here. So it's in the New Living Translation. It says, "The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. As the scriptures say, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and discard the intelligence of the intelligent." So where does this leave philosophers, the scholars, and the world's brilliant debaters? God has made the wisdom of this world to look foolish. And since God in his wisdom saw to it that the world would never know him through human wisdom, he has used our foolish preaching to save those who believe. It's foolish to the Jews who ask for signs from heaven, and it is foolish to the Greeks who seek human wisdom. So, when we preach that Christ was crucified, the Jews are offended and the Gentiles say it's all nonsense. But to those called by God to salvation, both Jews and Gentiles, Christ is the power of God and the wisdom of God. This foolish plan of God is wiser than the wisest of human plans, and God's weakness is stronger than the greatest of human strength. Praise God for that. Remember, dear brothers and sisters, that few of you were wise in the world's eyes, or powerful, or wealthy when God called you. Another translation says, "You see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after the flesh, not many mighty, and not many noble are called." Going on to verse 27, "Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. God chose things despised by the world, things counted as nothing at all, and used them to bring to nothing what the world considers important. And as a result, no one can ever boast in the presence of God, because God has united you with Christ Jesus. For our benefit, God made him to be wisdom itself. Christ made us right with God. He made us pure and holy, and he freed us from sin. Therefore, as the scriptures say, if you want to boast, boast only about the Lord." Amen. Hallelujah. Why does the word say that the message of the cross is foolishness? And why does it say that the way we communicate the message is foolish? Well, I think it's because people just can't comprehend that we get to live because Jesus died. We get blessed because Jesus was cursed. We are justified because Jesus was condemned. And this just doesn't make sense to them. It doesn't make sense to the world. And people are looking to gurus and philosophers and men of great attainment and worldly wisdom who have proven track records on this earth after the flesh. And they're looking at these people for the route map out of the difficulties that they face. And it was mentioned in the movie, most people don't know how to change their lives. They don't even know where to begin. They don't know where to start. Yet Jesus chose us, and he chooses people that can navigate and guide those who want to leave where you and I have been and set us on a new course. You know, that's the mission that we're on is as navigators, to help people to leave the places where you and I once were. That is fantastic news. It's good news. And it seems incomprehensible to many folk to find the way they need to take at the lower levels of society, the lower strata of society, as if transformational wisdom and ideas are reserved for only a few. But, you know, if you look at God's word, the church's early planters and preachers, they were from the margins of society. They had lowly backgrounds. They were pretty uneducated. They couldn't even really boast upon themselves, even if they wanted to. Yet Jesus chose them. And I think it's because the power of the message we have is in the example of our lives and what Christ is doing in us. So in our first mini movie, you would have heard these words, and they're worth pondering on as we go on into this week. What language is your behavior speaking? What language is our behavior speaking? So, you know, Jesus, as that we read in Matthew, the scripture earlier on about the birds of the air, Jesus must see strength and value in people, right? He sees that. He must do. And I thank God that he's seen something in me. And I know that wherever you are today, he sees something in you too. And I could say he sees strength and value even in people of diminished ability and capacity. But I think what I should rather say is he sees strength and value, especially in people of diminished value and capacity. And why is that? It's because this is where all the world will see the power and the glory of God at work. It's on the fringes of society, it's on the margins of society where signs and wonders and miracles took place in a huge way. You know, listen, that's not to say that God doesn't use accomplished people, but we live in a world where increasingly the haves have more and the have-nots have less. And they're usually viewed, the have-nots, they're usually viewed as having less value, less significance, less gifting, less strength. And you could just say, well, maybe they're just viewed as less appealing. But thank God for Jesus. When he looks on us, he doesn't see the deficiencies and the issues and the problems. He sees the potential. Thank God that he's seen potential in me, because I didn't think I had much to offer. You might feel the same way today. But I was taught that God sees us in the light of the atonement that Jesus made for us on the cross. You see, the sin that we were born into is there, but a covering sacrifice was made for you and me. And his name is Jesus. That condition of sin was blotted out by Jesus's presence and his ministry being felt on this earth, and then his blood being shed at Calvary. And I want to use a wee story to illustrate this message. I want us to go back to Leviticus 13 in the Old Testament, Leviticus 13 and 14. It's talking there about leprosy and the laws that came about because of this unclean, impure situation. Leprosy was a very serious thing back then. And the whole chapter of Leviticus 13 is dedicated to how the community dealt with those that had this disease. In verse 45 and 46, we'll get a little taste of that. Now, I want to make 100% sure before we continue this morning that you do not misunderstand what I'm saying with regards to this passage of scripture and the message that I'm trying to get through. I'm not equating leprosy to COVID-19. I want you to understand that. It's the character of Jesus that is my point this morning. It's the character of Jesus that I'm looking at here. So let's read in Leviticus 13, verse 45. It says there, anyone with such a defiling disease must wear torn clothes, let their hair be unkempt. This is a bit like mine. Cover the lower part of their face and cry out, unclean, unclean. As long as they have the disease, they remain unclean. They must live alone and they must live outside of the camp. You know, leprosy was treated so seriously that there were laws implemented to enforce the containment of those that had this disease. You know, and until Jesus's ministry impacted the world, with a couple of notable exceptions being Miriam, who had for 7 days leprosy, and Naaman, there are no recorded stories of lepers having been healed. So for around however long it was, 1500 years or so, we have these people with this incurable disease living on the fringes of their society. They were total outcasts. In fact, they were seen as the living dead. And if you do a little Bible study, you will find out that, and go a bit deeper, you'll find out how horrendous leprosy was. And it was thought, people thought that these people have this, they're under God's judgment. And because of this uncleanness, this impurity, they believed that you couldn't have leprosy and be holy. You were just impure. And we know that God's word tells us, be ye holy as I am holy. So there's a call to purity and there's a call to holiness. But these people were totally shunned because of that. But then Jesus comes along and he reaches out to these very people, which is incredible because the people of that time, including Jesus, knew that to interact with these people was to go against the law. Now, I want you to understand this. What I'm sharing this morning is not giving a green light to go against our own laws in this present time. It's not. Okay? So I just want to make that very clear. Okay? There's a message in this, but it's not to go and break the laws of our land. What I would like to achieve this morning is to draw your focus rather to the divine opportunities that are within our reach at the moment. I want to say how amazing our health workers are, how amazing our community hub workers are, and so many more people doing wonderful jobs in everything that they do. But let's not think that it leaves us without the opportunity to demonstrate God's ability, okay? I want to make this statement as well. You know, our nation needs laws, and we need to abide by the laws of our nation. As long as they do not bring about or force us to renege or renounce our faith in Jesus or to go against God's commandments for us, to us, then we uphold the laws of the land. If they don't try and force us into contravening God's word, then we uphold the law. And why is this? It's because laws exist to create order. They exist to create peace and to ensure a safe environment for the citizens of the land. But if you look across the world, you know, there are good laws and there are bad laws. And for argument's sake, some laws will be enacted to protect the interests of the very societies that elect government to do this task. So when I was thinking about it this week, I was thinking to some degree, these laws reflect the values that a particular society holds. And we know that not all laws are good. And I think it's worth pondering on this, thinking ahead. I think this will be more evident in times in the future, in terms of the persecution that's going to come against the church. But we are called to uphold the laws of our land. And in biblical times, and still today, fear causes people to react in certain ways to threatening situations. Sometimes if we react to situations based on fear and uncertainty about what's really going on, people suffer probably more than they should in the absence of God's laws and God's ways. As we shared last week, when God's ways are not there, it's a problem. And so fear usually leads people into a mindset of containment and isolation. Fear, it stifles liberal thinking. It stifles freedom, and fear paralyzes us. And I think that the saying that people are imprisoned by fear is so true. But Jesus came to set the captives free. And if you feel shut up or imprisoned, and I know a lot of us know what that feels like now, in anything today, Jesus is freedom. And if you reach out to him and you ask him to free you, he will. Hallelujah. But the compassion and mercy that Jesus had, bearing in mind the situation with the leprosy, he had this compassion and mercy inside him, and that moved him beyond the boundaries and the limitations of this particular law of ritual purity and cleansing. You know, Jesus was a teacher of the law himself, but he understood that the spirit of the law, the way the law is acted out, is important. It's more important than the letter of the law. And that's why we need to keep looking at Jesus. We need to keep our eyes on Jesus. We need to keep on studying his life, know all about his life. Otherwise, we can fall into legalism and we lose the essence of what it was that Jesus came to accomplish. Now, you know, as you read through the Gospels, you'll find he touched dead people. He touched lepers. He touched women that had a flow of blood. All of these things were considered unclean and impure. And he shared his space and he broke bread with the undesirable people of the time. And he did it all without any hesitation whatsoever. He didn't even consider the thoughts that everyone else would have been having. So you know what people's first reactions are like? Wow, unclean. This is shocking. Doesn't he know what he's doing? But we need to understand that everything that is pure flowed from the heart of Jesus, and it still does today. And what was important to Jesus was purity of the heart. You know, Jesus said, defilement comes from within. So that's the issue that he's addressing. Motives. He's addressing motives of the heart, attitudes of the heart. He's asking us the question. Jesus always poses a question. Are your hearts pure? And his love overcame the law. It was a huge risk for Jesus, but it signified that, and it tells me that he meant business. And it shows us that all people are welcome in the community of Christ, in the kingdom of God. And that's a message that we can carry today and that we should carry out today. And it's a reminder that Jesus came not to abolish the law. You can read that in Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. But he came to fulfill it, and he was the perfection of it. And I say that in the sense of the statement that was in the mini movie earlier, that the language that he spoke was reflected in his behavior. And his behavior was brave and courageous. He was a trailblazer. He went into those difficult situations. He went into uncharted territory. His behavior was tender. His behavior was merciful. His behavior was forgiving. His behavior was helpful. And I encourage all of you today to stay tender. Stay tender with yourself. Stay tender with others as well. You know, the key to growing in Christ is not just trying to emulate Jesus, but it's letting all of Jesus, all of his love, all of his strength and power move through our being. The more he moves through our core, the more we will respond the way he did. And that's why Jesus says that the things that I will do, you will do, and greater than these you will do. Because when you allow Jesus, when you respond in a situation the same way that Jesus responded, that is when his power is manifest on the earth. Amen. And I want to close with some words that you may have heard on the mini movie before watching this message. And one of the statements that they said there was, do we go to the margins of society to make a difference? Or are we invited to go there so that the marginalized in society make us different? God designs things, I think a lot of times, God designs things to provide ways for us to go into places to change us, to change our heart. And, you know, I think God gives us an opportunity, and sometimes our refusal to follow through means that there's no change. And it's a brave decision to accept and embrace going into uncharted territory. But what you find in uncharted territory is the opportunity to change. So do we go and do things in these places because we are good, or are we prepared to go into uncharted territory despite how ready we feel about it? Like I said last week, most of the time I don't feel ready. we were still struggling trying to set up this technology today. We sometimes don't feel that we're ready. But we go despite how we feel. And it's there that we will discover our goodness. So we find our goodness in these places. And Jesus was often drawn to the margins of society. I believe his heart was moved by doing ministry there. And his heart was always drawn to these people and places. So wherever there are people that have been forced apart or isolated, people that haven't experienced love, they haven't experienced human touch, they haven't experienced human compassion for a long time, they haven't spoken with people for a while. And thank God for, we have people in our church today that are calling on people to spend time talking with them. Jesus is available to restore these people back into community. And that's still our mission. Alongside and with the help of the Holy Spirit, that's our mission today. So I want to tell you this morning, my brothers and sisters, that you have strengths. You have great strength. You have gifts to use, and you are valuable to God. And I would like to, in closing this message, make a declaration over you today and say that you will stand on top of your mountain. You may feel tired, you may feel exhausted, you may have been ready to give up and leave it all behind, but you will overcome the challenge of the climb. Amen. I believe you will overcome the challenge of the climb. You will summit the mountain, and you will enjoy the moment of victory that the Lord your God has for you. I declare that over you and your households today, in the name of Jesus. So as we get ready to close in prayer, I want to say thank you for staying on this this message. I'd like to ask you to please watch the movies either side of the message, and we've got something special for you to see. Some of you may already have seen it. There's the UK blessing, where all of these wonderful artists came together to sing a blessing over the UK. We're going to play that afterwards. So praise God. It's been great to be with you today. And may God bless you. I just want to close in prayer and read that blessing out of Numbers chapter 6. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. We thank you, Father God, for this word today. Thank you, Lord, that we take courage to move forward into uncharted territory, and there we'll discover not only goodness, we'll discover a heart for the lost there, we'll discover the new things that you have for us. Lord, like your word says, behold, I do a new thing. It's a new season. Father God, as we go forward into this season ahead of us right now, do a new thing, Lord, in the lives of your people, in our lives, in the life of our church, and wherever your church is, I pray the same thing. I thank you, Father God, that you give us a heart, Father God, for those on the fringes of society. You will give us opportunities, Father God. Even though people are helping one another everywhere, there are still your work to be done. So Father God, quicken our spirits. Father God, this week we tune our ears in to the voice of your Spirit. Move us, direct us, lead us and guide us to do whatever your will is, Lord, this week. And Father God, as we close this service, we thank you for your word in Numbers that says, the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Father, we thank you for these words, and we thank you for your grace. We thank you for your peace. And we pray this morning and lift up anyone who's struggling with sickness in their body, with disease of any kind, whether it be physical or mental or even spiritual, Father. And we pray restoration and wellness into their lives in the mighty name of Jesus. Well, praise God. Thanks for joining us. And we will be back in touch with you soon. Have a great week and stay strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Amen.
Thanks for listening. Remember to visit our website, www.bridge-church.com, and connect with us via Facebook and Twitter.